Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Dark Diamond Podcast. Today I'm here with Tarn Adams, the creator of Dwarf Fortress, among other great games from Bay 12 Games. Tarn, what's your two-line elevator pitch for Dwarf Fortress?
Two lines. Well, Dwarf Fortress is aspiring to be a fantasy world simulator in which you can basically run any kind of tacky fantasy trope that you want, but currently it just centers around running a colony of dwarves mining into the mountain and finding and crafting different treasures and things, and then either dying or getting bored to death and quitting. I guess you could play an adventure or two. That's not that fun yet, though. I don't know if that's a pitch, though. That's like a stay away from my game.
Yeah. So how long have you been working on it right now, since you're only at version 0.28, something around there?
That's right. So I started in October 2002, but that wasn't continuous effort, because I had my main fantasy game, which was Slaves to Armagh, God of Blood, the first one, was eating up most of my time, and I was also still in school working on my math degree and stuff at that time, so I didn't have a whole lot of time to work on it, though I worked on it more than I should have if I wanted a career as a mathematician. And I eventually, Armagh got scuttled. It was just getting too heavy, and I'd focused on the wrong things too early, and I just wasn't that experienced running a large project. So I don't remember quite when that was. I announced on my boards that I was working on Dwarf Fortress around 2004, and then just kind of updated people on the progress a little bit for a couple years, and then in August of 2006 I actually put out the first version of the game, and I think it was around 0.19 at that time. So in a couple years it's gone up by 9. So I guess that you can do the simple division or whatever and come up with the number of years until we get to version 1.
So
and hopefully we'll still be here to see it.
So version 1 around 2016, more or less, hopefully.
Yeah. If you're that dexterous with the numbers, I'll take your word for it. I pulled up my little calculator here. 100. We're at 28 now, right? Even know what I'm doing. I did 9 in 2 years, so that's what, 4.5 a year. Oh, that sucks. So that means I need to divide 72 by 4.5, right? Is that right? And then we'll get the number of years?
More or less, yes.
16 years from now. That's 2025.
Well,
I'll be 47 years old. That's around the time.
Let's hope that you just have a flash and you jump up 10 versions in a night, maybe.
Well, I could do that. I mean, I control the number, right? I could just change it.
Yeah. So, yeah. So on the site, you have more or less 1,200 to-do items for development. I mean, do you ever see yourself finishing them? Like, even if we give you about 100 years or so, let's just imagine.
Oh, well, no, I could finish that in 100 years. Yeah, I don't have that time though. And plus, there's a couple thousand things I haven't put up yet, because my brother and I designed this game, and we've been talking about a lot of stuff. I actively read the suggestions people put up online, because people have played the game much more than I have now. Some of the people that are playing the game and have some good suggestions for it, especially what would make it more enjoyable, because it's very clunky right now. And so all of those things were taken into consideration, and I've taken a lot of notes down. So, I mean, basically, as long as the game is fun to play, at least for the small subsection of people that can handle jumping into it, it's fine as long as I keep it together, for there always to just kind of be these items that will never be done, as long as it's kind of building up and becoming better. Because I don't want to kind of presage my own death by saying, okay, I'm done, I've got nothing left to do, because this is basically what I do with my time. So it's good to have something to do in the future.
So yeah, you said that you designed the game with your brother. Have there ever been times where he would propose something and you'd just say, "No, from a technical standpoint, I can't do this, or I'd have to rewrite all the code," or has it been reasonable enough to where you're able to essentially put all of that on the to-do list and just?
He's programmed in the past. It's not like he doesn't know how to program. So he's usually very mindful of those kind of things. I mean, sometimes it's not like we have these dramatic disagreements or anything. We've been basically wanting to do the same game for 20 years, and we know what we think about it. So it's really, I mean, it's all very smooth. I mean, if we propose something, and it'll just be like, oh no, that wouldn't quite work. All right, and then we go on to the next part, and there's nothing. But sure, that's happened. I mean, from both of us, as far as what was technically feasible or not, I don't think I've embarked on any project that, I mean, well, other projects, sure, but in Dwarf Fortress, where I had to backtrack, you know, for a month after I totally screwed up, unless you view the Z-axis as such an error.
A lot of beginners mainly, complain about the really steep learning curve in Dwarf Fortress at the moment. Do you think that's something you could fix, or is that just something that comes with the idea in itself, that it has to be complicated for it to work?
No, it's fun for some people is because of that, which I don't buy that at all. I think that the game could be made as easy, almost as a console game or something, if it had a slick enough, coherent enough interface to communicate to people what they're supposed to do. It just doesn't do that right now. And I mean, I don't think I'm totally interface incompetent. I just don't care that much right now because it's premature. It's really premature. I know people playing the game don't think it's premature because they wanna get through it. Especially I don't know, 90% of people that just get turned away immediately and are like, no, I can't play this crap. What the hell? So it's something that I'm going to address. It's in the near version goals, which means that it will predate Magic, pretty much. So, Magic is kind of a core thing for a fantasy game. So, to say that I'm going to do that part first means that in 2025, when I'm working on the interface, there won't be Magic yet.
So, I imagine that you have a rough idea of how many people are actively playing Dwarf Fortress, or is it just, since there seems to be a really high drop-off rate, a lot of people downloading it and then playing it for 30 minutes and then realizing this game is impossible without opening up the Dwarf Fortress wiki on the side or whatnot.
Yeah. So there's. I mean, the forums seem to have a certain amount of active people, but not all of them are active players. I mean, I guess we can look at what the initial download number. Like, if I put up a version, and then how many downloads were there in the first couple days? Those are the people that are really following the project, right? And I don't know, following the game and playing it at a time. Of course, there's drop-offs, people added on, and so on. There's always some turnover. But that's kind of what we're looking at as far as people that are at least following the game. And each version, you know, it's hard to judge repeats and all that thing, but there's, you know, it's in the tens of thousands, the number of people that have tried the game. So if I can't keep, you know, more than 10%, there's obviously some work to be done. But right now I'm just trying to get the basics of the game up and running, and it's nowhere near complete yet.
So I imagine that you've put a significant amount of time into the game itself, just in terms of playing as well. Has there been any weird things that have happened to you that you haven't seen happen to anybody else? Like, you know, something equivalent to the cat explosion that everybody loves so much?
Well, I see, not the gameplay more than I have now, but I experience all the bugs you guys don't get to see, right? So just, I mean, the most recent one was when I screwed up the organ relations and the brain was plastered on the outside of the skull, and the lungs were like this weird patchy rib-shaped coating on the ribs because it had just kind of made everything backwards. And when I was testing, okay, how good is a fist fight now? Because I've totally redone the combat mechanics, and so I just wanted to see what was happening. So I had the dwarves fist fighting each other, and it was not very survivable, these fist fights, because they just box each other in the face and it would squish their brains and mess up their lungs and their heart, and they'd fall over dead and so on. That was the most recent problem. And you can just go back any mechanic you can imagine. I usually screw it up the first time.
There are two modes right now, the Fortress mode and the Adventurer mode. I imagine that right now the Fortress mode is getting the most time put into it. Are you trying to get it so that at one point they'll both be equally enjoyable or something?
Yeah. So Fortress mode is how the game... I mean, the game started with the idea that the very first notion of the game was that you would dig out a little fortress, have some little production, eventually die, and then your adventure would just be kind of this high score mode where you go find out little things about, you know, like finding a goblet or an old production record or a diary or something. And as soon as you recover all of the events that happened in that fortress, that would be kind of the maximum high score. So you have a potential high score, and then you can keep running adventures until you get the maximum high score. That was kind of when it was more of a smaller project that I thought I would finish in 2 months and then go back to Slaves to Armok. And so it became Slaves to Armok instead. So the whole adventure notion is now holding the entire, like, all of our fantasy RPG aspirations are now sitting in adventure mode. So eventually we're going to build that up. And a lot of the items on the future of the fortress development list, which is stuff that I'm going to get to, you know, in the coming years, I guess. But so say this version comes out sometime this year. I really don't know when it's going to come out, but say some comes sometime this year, that'll most likely happen. Even if I have to delay stuff, then the next. I usually try and do some things on both modes. The Dwarf Fortress mode is the most popular one, and so it's good to work on that one, work out the kinks in that one, even if Adventure mode languishes a little bit. But the things I've got up on the Future of the Fortress page include things like being able to organize your adventuring group when you hire people to actually have that become an entity recognized by the world, so that you could become a group of bandits or something, and then when you're going and raiding civilizations and so on, it's something that's more meaningful. But a lot of that needs to be preceded by army considerations, which is that's the stuff I'm working on in the version after this one. I'm going to either improve the sieges in dwarf mode, meaning making the armies actually move over the world map, arrive, and then be able to deal with a lot of the ways that people just kind of cheat them right now with traps and so on. And or the other option is to have you be able to send out armies from dwarf mode. And as soon as I get that interplay working where the fantasy world, which is now very static, you just have these places, right? But you can't really do much with them. Certainly in dwarf mode, you can't do anything. In adventure mode, you just kind of wander around and ask people if their parents died or whatever. And it's not that exciting. That will spring to life. Those things will help the world become more coherent, and we can do things like diplomacy and so on later, though I'm going to have to put a lot of that off. And once the world's alive like that, then there'll be more mechanics for your adventurer to interact with. Because right now there's just not enough. You can quest to kill beasts and so on, but nothing's really thinking, nothing's really happening, and so I hope to get that up and running, even starting this year when I get the army mechanics up. After this release, the next thing after I stabilize it, there's going to be a bunch of stabilization releases, but hopefully this year I can get started on the army mechanics, which should be a lot of fun.
So, the world gen in the game seems rather coherent and complex. Did you put, like, research into geology or something like that before actually starting to write code for it or anything like that? You did?
Yeah. Well, I mean, research into geology, I mean, you don't want to say, like, that I was studying it seriously or something like that, but I basically was just hopping around Wikipedia pages and then going to sources from Wikipedia, like MnDat and stuff, these websites that have stuff on those. I have a few field guides myself, but field guides are almost subsumed by the internet now. There's almost no point in having text sources, although I'm sure some people will disagree with me and be right. But It was enough, though. It was enough to do things like I've got the weather simulation. I've got different fronts moving around. You this is the most wasted CPU time ever because you really don't care. But it'll do things like a frontal pass over the mountains, and it'll rain on one side of the mountains and then cast a rain shadow over the other side, and that'll affect during the world generation what. You know, if there's going to be a forest there or not. And I just tried to put in as many effects as I could easily. I mean, it even does mountain breezes and sea breezes and so on that you can feel in adventure mode at the right time of day, but it's just, I mean, who cares? But it's getting there. That you know, if I need some mechanics like that later on to do something more meaningful, I always like having a bunch of goop in my fingertips to work with. Which is, I mean, part of the reason I'm doing this whole material rewriting the bodies and everything, you know, seems overcomplicated, but now things that seem difficult to do before, like scars and so on, without just setting up some system like, oh yeah, you've got a scar on your face and it's just a little flag, now there can be a scar on your face. And it's going to know which wound it came from, who put it there, how big it is, how long it's been healing, whether or not it's infected. Anything about it is just something that kind of actually exists in the world rather than being an artificial construct put on top of it. And I think of the weather the same way, but that's really not going to see any use for a long time until we get to more magical type stuff and things like hurricanes and tornadoes, that kind of stuff, where you can actually see something happening and have it be meaningful.
So your main goal in Dwarf Fortress is really just to create a living, breathing world. You know.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Without it being an MMO. That's right. And you know, I wanted this kind of ultimate single player game experience in a fantasy world. So you have to play myself, right? That was kind of our thing with my brother and I. Is we played a ton of computer games, way too much. I mean, my parents probably could have bought another house or something. Not quite another house, but something nice. And we'd always been programming in BASIC since we were little kids, and we eventually started thinking about games sort of in spite of the games we were playing rather than because of them, and just wanted to have something that we could play ourselves without getting tired of it. It takes a lot of sort of dynamic, random things to make a game that you can play yourself. Like if you're going to make a plot game, you can kind of put it out into the world and have a lot of people really enjoy it. But as far as enjoying it yourself, it would be difficult. If you were following a linear thing, or even if it had branches, you know, you're going to know what's at the end of every corner, and it's just not going to be as satisfying. So we're trying to create a game that could surprise us, and it's going all right so far. I think when I get some of those more world interaction events in, which is coming now finally, it'll be really something that we can play ourselves. Yeah, so that's right. And I guess one more thing to say, since I did bring up the MMOs, I mean, for us creating a single player fantasy world. I mean, the thing with us there is that you can kind of experience some of these things that are precluded to you if you're playing an MMO or that, like the ability to really change something or to become the most powerful thing. It's not all about power trips. It's just an easy example of becoming something at the top, where you control other things, right? Because if you're playing with a bunch of people, if they don't, I mean, it's not fun to play as someone's slave, right? Mm-hmm. So that's something that can be a problem with some of these promises of dynamic worlds and MMOs, is there's always something missing there. I mean, I know people have been working a lot on how to get that kind of feel in there, but I don't think, I mean, just as a matter of course, I'm not sure it's possible. So single player games have always appealed to me in that way. So anyway, rambling.
But I mean, would you ever see yourself building, you know, a single player game that's very linear, just something that might have the best story in the world? You know, it's something you could only play once, and that at the end of the development cycle you would never enjoy? Or do you always see yourself trying to build these open-ended games that would procedurally generate everything for you?
Generally, that's how I've operated. I mean, I've done many, many projects in the past, and I, of course, were scuttled or didn't make it because I was still learning now. But the other ones are things like just little games. Take a game like chess. I mean, it's very complicated, but at the same time, the rules are simple. Mm-hmm. So it's something else. That's just a different category, right? It's not about whether or not you're generating a plot. You don't have a plot per se. You just have a deep set. Strategies. Yeah, and that's a different kind of thing. We messed around with little things like that. But I mean, it's not goals. It's not a good use of my time. I mean, I like writing stories and things, and it's part of the reason that I set up this system of, or rather, we set up this system of rewards for people that donate can either get a ASCII art reward, which is a story. It's not really ASCII art so much as a few characters that look like they're out of Dwarf Fortress, just like 10 or 11. But then I started out writing some of them as well, just to kind of scratch those itches as far as setting up plots and stuff. It's not like they're any good, and it's not like we have time to really think about them deeply. But just to do some stuff like that, and or they can get a Cran art reward, which is just, you know, that's just some people like have something to have. Not an artist, but it's that's how that is. It's not that, because I think there are some things that you can do in that format that you can't do easily with procedural generations. I'm not that interested in symbolism, but if you wanted to do some, it's much easier. my symbolism. I mean, I'm trying so on, so things can be related to a notion like compassion, and I just try and come up with as many mechanics as possible and associate it to that. And you can set up so many links, but it's not going to be something that resonates with people as much as a scripted plot. I mean, we're basically trying to capture the worst fantasy plots, and I mean, a plot where you're like, oh, did they come up with that in 10 minutes? And you can kind of systematize it yourself, see all of their thoughts, the things that they came up with, and turn that into a mechanic in a game. Those are the plots that we'll be able to capture.
You talked about the ASCII art and whatnot, and the community seems to be really strong and behind the game. I mean, what would you have gone this far without the community?
Oh no. I mean, I would be out of money, and I'd be working again. It's completely donation supported project, and I do it full time now for the past year or so, a little more than a year, year and a half. I've been working on Dwarf Fortress full time, and that's 100% community support for the game. It's great. They've been really good, especially considering how slow the releases have been lately. You know, they're sticking with it, so no, it's really cool.
So, I mean, how well did your parents take that? You know, did you just go up and tell them, okay, I'm not going to have fixed income anymore, I'm just going to go work on my video games by myself?
Yeah, I mean, they joke around. He was always, you know, kind of interested in practical skills because he wanted his children to survive and stuff. And so he taught us computers from a very early age. You know, like I was saying, my first memories are like sitting on my dad's lap doing for loops and stuff. I mean, I just don't remember anything else. And there are some pictures of that too. It's just like, oh man, I didn't really know what was going on, but I knew what I was typing, or I knew to type things and stuff. It was really weird. But so he said he did that. He said he taught us. This is my brother and I both taught us. Let us play computer games and taught us how to program little computer games and stuff, because he saw at that time, it was, you know, the early 80s, that computers were really going to be a huge part of the future, right? So, he wanted to make sure we knew everything about them and weren't sort of technophobes or anything like that. So we did get into that deeply, but too deeply, really, and became more interested in the games than anything else. I remember these times when I was like 13 years old, he'd give me a little kit to build an AM radio or whatever, and I just wouldn't even open it. It was rude what I did, I think. But And it was just didn't care at all about that kind of thing. So it was total failure. And but you know, his main thing is that he wanted us to be happy, and he sees that we're happy now doing what we're doing. So he's completely cool with that. I mean, they were surprised because I had actually managed to land a professor job in mathematics. And, you know, that had taken, you know, if you count the undergrad and the grad school, that had taken 9 years of study and preparation. And then to finally, you know, send out 60 job applications, get one that comes back, yeah, we'll give you a job or whatever. And, which is not uncommon, right? It's really hard to kind of move up each level. And then when I got there, I was just miserable. I was totally unhappy doing that. I was already releasing Dwarf Fortress at that time. So my first summer there, I just went into the chair and I was like, I'm going to have to leave. And they were nice enough to let me stick around for another year, teaching, no research at all, just teaching three classes. And that got me enough money so that I could even get started on this crazy project. And now I'm basically treading water, which is fine with me. I mean, it's not a perfect situation, but it's not bad either. So that's good.
So what's your daily life like developing Dwarf Fortress? I mean, do you wake up at noon, then just end up falling asleep at 4 a.m. in front of the computer just to wake up and do the same thing again?
No, it's not quite like that. Foil over my window to keep the light out, but my hours have become more reasonable after this last little vacation I was on. Now I get up at 11 a.m. and go to bed at 3 a.m. So it's almost normal. It's almost normal. It used to be 3 p.m. to 7 a.m. and that was just weird. But now, you know, I get up and I basically the first thing I have to do is check my email to make sure that there's no conflagration on the forums or whatever, make sure everything's okay, and so on. And sometimes that takes a couple hours, you know, just going through that stuff or writing a really long forum reply will in itself take an hour when I'm keeping people up to date and answering their questions. And then I'll program generally, you know, for what, I don't know what I'd have left by then, like 3 hours or so. And then my brother calls me from his job where he's still working. And we'll talk for about a half an hour about whatever I've been doing and thinking about other things, other projects, all that kind of thing. And then that's a half hour when he's on his break. And then I'll just start working again for another 5 or 6 hours until 9 o'clock or so. And then we usually convene and talk about things again. Sometimes just watch a show on TV or something. Like I was saying on my boards, the last. Called I Was Bitten. It's only had a couple episodes, and it's just about people that got these horrible snake bites, right? And spider bites and stuff. But it was just horribly graphic. Apartment syndrome and needing a fasciotomy, which basically means cutting open a swollen limb to relieve the pressure and so on. And now that's in Dwarf Fortress. You can get compartment syndrome, and if you have wounds on that part, it'll relieve the pressure. Otherwise, it'll cut off the blood flow and constrict the blood supply and so on. And we just keep, you know, adding things that we've seen and so on. So we have this kind of cool down time for a couple hours where we'll either be planning our project seriously or not during that time. And then I've got another couple hours at I'm not going to make sure this adds up to 16, but it's, you know, there's another couple hours after that where I finish up what I was working on for the day, or a lot of times I'll have some huge number of emails to respond to or suggestion forum stuff to read. So, I mean, sometimes I program, you know, as little as 6 or 7 hours in a day. And sometimes it's basically my brother will be doing something else, so I'll just be working all day. And it's something in there. I don't really have any. I've moved around a lot, and I have no friends in this town. I don't know anybody here, and I don't do anything. It's a little backwards. This is the town. I've lived in a bunch of places. I've lived in New Hampshire, Texas, California, Washington. This is the only town in America where I've been yelled at on the street this many times. I've been yelled at on the street, I think, 16 times. People just, it's like, I mean, I didn't think Silverdale, Washington, where I live, is would be quite so you know, people hanging out of the cars yelling at you like truck. It's just I mean rural farming community in the Midwest or something, or in the South or something. That would be a typical kind of northern view or western view, but it's really here. It all comes back to here in Silverdale, Washington. I just mind-boggling how much crap people yell. It's like, "Hey, stupid! You're walking!" And when you try and cross, people yell out, "Run, Forrest! Run!" A car or something. I don't have a car. I don't know. But I've totally forgot what I was talking about.
It's okay. Well, I think we're just gonna take a quick break, and we'll be back in a moment. And we're back. Let's see. It's just time to ask more random questions about Dwarf Fortress and other things. The music, there's a soothing guitar thing that you can listen to for hours and hours on end. How'd you get a hold of that? Do you know the guy who composed it, or?
Oh, that was me. I play a little bit. I've been playing since, I guess it was October 2003. It was just a kind of a strange thing. Like my dad has a guitar. I never really learned to do anything with it, but it was always kind of there. And then when I was at a math conference in France, it was the only time I've ever been over there. A couple people there were talking about flamenco guitar, and for some reason I got this bug up my butt and started looking it up on the internet. And I was like, all right, I'll go buy a guitar, and I did. And two videos, and so I mean, I've never accompanied a dancer or a singer, so I wouldn't say that I actually do anything like flamenco, but you know, I learned the different rhythm schemes and some of the different ways of playing it, and then I kind of forgot all of that, or stopped doing it. I don't play that many of those songs anymore. Now I just kind of use the things I learned and just sit there and play, and that was one of the things I came up with. And I've written some other things that are kind of halfway done, because I'd like to have a few more songs, because I mean, as much as some people like it, it does. I mean, people play the game for, you know, 80, 100 hours or whatever, and they want something else. I mean, yeah. It would be good to have some more, although it does increase the download size and you only have so much bandwidth. But I would like to include some more music. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun writing that. I mean, I've always kind of been interested in that, in music in general. So ever since I was in an elementary school band or whatever, I played the flute back then, and then that was from 4th to 8th grade, I guess. And then there was something else in there. I started playing the piano when I was around 20, but I pretty much strictly on the guitar now. But I have a bunch of instruments around and so on that I've messed around with, so I've just always been dabbling in that kind of thing. And, I mean, people have offered to write better music for the game and stuff, but it's just one of those things I like to do myself.
Yeah. So are you interested in continuing this sort of one-man, or two-man, rather, this two-man project just on Fraternity? Since I imagine there must be somebody out there with you know, supposed technical experience that would be willing to help you on things. But.
Yeah, absolutely. But there are, but also, yeah, we're sticking with just the two of us. I mean, we've been approached by people willing to do, you know, 3D graphical front end for Dwarf Fortress while you continue working on the back end and so on. That's come up a bunch of times, and it's just not something we're interested in for a variety of reasons. I mean, I don't really want to sell a computer game, which is what some of that would come down to. I really like the model we're currently working with, because anyone can play the game, and I don't have to worry about going out of business or whatever. unless people just flat out don't like the game, then we'll disappear. And that's fine. That's how it should be, I think. But the... And there's just, I don't want to get entangled with people, and, you know, eventually people would, you know, may or may not want money, and people will have rights to various things, and then you have to just, even if all of that's fine, you still have to worry about, well, if I'm working with someone else who's working on the graphics and so on, I mean, that's going to restrain what I can do down below with my little text game, because they would have to come up with assets for that and so on. And it's just, I like how it's going now, because I can kind of move at, I mean, it's going really slow now, but comparatively it's like light speed. Just adding new crap all the time that I don't have to worry about displaying all that well. And I mean, I'm doing bad for text, of course, sometimes, but that just not. And I mean, when we had that discussion before about the MMOs and so on, I mean, a lot of it comes down to me just not really wanting to work with people. I don't know. As well, it's like, I mean, as much as it might be a surprise to some people, I mean, being a mathematician is a very social profession. You hear about people like researching, like trapped in his closet for 7 years, he came up with the proof of his theorem. That's very, just talk to each other all the time, go to conferences all the time. You have to know what's going on, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people working, and only one person gets to publish the results. So it's, I mean, you can publish them jointly or whatever, and that's when people are talking to each other and so on. So it wasn't for me. I'd rather stay in my little closet and work on my video games and stuff.
So you hate people now, is that it?
No, come on. Some yammering on here, but it's just, I mean, I don't really have a lot of people that I know, and I don't really want to work with people on my projects and stuff. I really prefer to work on the projects. I mean, my brother and I managed to work on this just because we essentially share the same vision exactly. And that's just how it worked out. So we're able to work on this. I mean, it's essentially like talking to yourself or something. Just kind of hashing things out.
Yeah. So we always say Tarn Adams, creator of Dwarf Fortress. You know?
That's right.
But then, I mean, you know, you do have a lot of other games on your site, and you still have a soft spot for those, like Liberal Crime Squad, which is my personal favorite.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was. I mean, Liberal Crime Squad was originally, the first version was just this 2-week joke project. I was like, I had played Oubliette, or however you say it, and that's a game from 1985. It's kind of like one of those, I don't know if people played D&D and Telengard and those old games from 1985 or ish around that time, where you'd have this really limited 3x3 view and walk around, and you suddenly walk into the next room, and it's like, you find a level 27 dragon, and it's like, it kills you, and you're like, okay. That I played one of those games recently. I played Oubliette, which had a kind of nice thing to it, where you had a multiple party. I mean, you had a bunch of people, but you could bring them in and out of your group and so on. I guess there are other games like that, like, I don't know, Bard's Tale or something. And I watching just the news and keeping up to date and so on, and you know, listening to the scary radio and stuff like that, just getting you know, staying, just seeing the humor in that, and then there's the whole SLA and Patty Hearst and all that, right? It was just kind of, I mean, if you read the complete story of those, of that group, it's just like, I mean, it's kind of odd. And I worked with it a bit more, and I don't remember if there were three versions total or whatever, but it eventually ended up being a couple months total in the game. And now a group of people from the forums has picked it up, and they've been working a lot on it. They've done more work on it than I have. So, I mean, you could starting from the base of what I set up, it's really their own thing now. And it's a lot different, I think, than the one I created. So I don't even know which one you play, but it's because they're different things. I can't, and I haven't played it that much, so I can't really speak to theirs.
So yeah, you seem to have a pretty dedicated fan base out there. Would you ever want to organize some sort of like Bay 12 Con, similar to QuakeCon or BlizzCon, whatnot, just to see all these people? Or
we had one last year. We had a get together. I mean, it was at the Ivers restaurant in Seattle. There were what, 12 people there or something. I mean, it's 20 something. The one on We don't know. We haven't quite settled on it. It's May 9th, I'm pretty sure. There's a thread on our forums. It's gonna. It might change a little bit, but it's May 9th right now, probably in Seattle. It's not quite settled. And if you're interested, it's in the general discussion, Dwarf Fortress general discussion. There's a sticky thread sitting there where people are talking about that, and you're welcome to come by. And make sure you post there so we know who's vaguely the number of people coming. But it seems like it'll be about the same size as last time. And it was a lot of fun. We had a Dwarf Fortress game going on a laptop, and people were just sitting around, and everyone was in good spirits. It was a good time.
Have you ever thought of going to, GDC, the Game Developers Conference, or something, to give a speech about how your games are awesome and how the industry is going in the wrong direction, or something horrible?
They know if they like them or not. I don't know what railing against people who are making their own thing. I mean, I know there are a lot. And it's like, I mean, it isn't so much for me anymore. But there have been some cool things I've played recently, I think. I haven't played. I mean, I just haven't. I mean, I kind of dropped out of the whole gaming thing myself around 93 was when I really just totally dropped out. So anything after that really hasn't had any influence on me. But there are some interesting things that we played. I mean, I got a PlayStation 2. A year or two ago, and I was very impressed just visually by games like Shadow of the Colossus and Okami and stuff. But it's kind of a different thing, right? I mean, but games are like that. There are so many different kinds and things that I mean, I just couldn't make a game like that because I don't have the chops for it. But and the staff, and yeah. So But it's, it's just, I don't know what I'd say to those guys, right? I mean, what would I say? I would go there and I'm like, yeah, you should make games like Dwarf Fortress. I don't particularly want them to make games like Dwarf Fortress. I like them to stay away from games like Dwarf Fortress so that I can continue to eat and stuff. Because if someone made a concerted effort to make a really good game with a lot of money that was like Dwarf Fortress, then I'd be kind of screwed. although, yeah, who knows? I mean, I'm not sure what I'd say. I mean, someone invited me to one of those things, but it wasn't like a formal invitation. It was just like, yeah, why don't you go to GDC? But it was after, I mean, it was way after it was prudent to come. And I'm like, oh, well, if you email me sooner next year, maybe I'll go or something. But I mean, it's just not something I'm a part of. I mean, even the independent game developer things and so on, I mean, people always say like, well, why don't you submit Dwarf Fortress to what's the big one?
IGF, I think.
Yeah, whatever the big one is, the only one that people ever talk about, that one. And I mean, at least 2 years ago, but it's also not finished yet. So I mean, I don't even know what's appropriate there, and I also don't know if they'd even be interested in that. I mean, it's like a, I mean, generally the things that do well there seem to be kind of these kind of platformy console-y type things, but I really don't know that much about it. Again, it's just not the direction I'm going. So I don't know. No one's really that interested in talking to me, and I'm doing my own thing. So,
right.
Yeah.
So are you more influenced by tabletop games then, rather than video games, since you seem to be stuck in 1993 still for those?
Well, no. Biggest influences are, and this goes for my brother too, pretty much. Although he'll still play games. I mean, he likes the Total War games and Civilization and stuff. He'll play those. The games. I mean, my favorite game is Starflight, from 1987 or whatever the heck that was. It's a long time ago. You have to play the PC one because I hear they take the life forms out of the console version. So that's really no good. The life forms are awesome. But then there's Seven Cities of Gold was a lot of fun. I mean, you can't really play it now. There's a lot of bugs and things, but just that whole exploration thing was very inspiring. And of course we played Hack a lot.
Right.
And so on. But the tabletop games, I mean, we didn't play them that much. We played a bit of D&D, not that much. We played Cyberpunk a bit, which kind of influenced our whole damage system and so on, because there were no hit points in that game. It was you know, you'd shoot someone in the arm and then their arm would be injured, you know, stuff like that, and that kind of influenced the damage system we use. But also, I mean, big influences, just books, movies, that kind of thing. Just trashy movies like Beastmaster, Conan, and that kind of thing influenced a lot of what we did. And then stuff just like the European myths, that kind of thing, and obviously things like Lord of the Rings and the Silmarillion, or however you pronounce it, that kind of thing.
So in 2025, whenever you get 1.0 out, Hollywood producers will just be able to open up Dwarf Fortress, play for half an hour, and then have a script just magically.
Well, Hollywood producers are crap movies. If we go back, sword and sorcery movies that were crap. Although I guess they do that occasionally still. Yeah, they run World Gen, ideally, 2025 we're talking about here. You run World Gen, and when you read the legends, they sound a little less stilted, and it's easier to get from place to place. I don't know if you've looked at the legend screen, for instance, when you run World Gen, it'll give you a rundown of what everybody did and their life story and so on. But there's just not that many interesting mechanics, so the stories aren't that interesting. And so, I mean, there's kind of you need stuff to work with. And you also need to present it nicely. So there's some problems with the English there. I mean, that's kind of the one of the annoying things is taking, you know, 10 events and then trying to condense them into a paragraph. We haven't really attempted that yet, and it should be intriguing to try. But yeah, no, I mean, I don't know if you've seen some of the stories that people tell about their not even their own games, but just the legends. You know, sometimes people will pick someone out and follow their family and who they've killed, what their jobs were, where they moved around, and so on. There, even with that little to work with, you can still kind of come up with a compelling narrative. It's just because everything kind of comes together, and as far as the mechanics we've got, the game doesn't miss everything, so it's all consistent. And in that way, it can resonate more than when you're just following kind of one person going to this place, killing these guys, going here, going there, you know, that kind of thing. You can really follow up on anything that you're interested in.
So what exactly is your month-end project? Is it always the same thing, or does it switch between things, and is it some secret, like, Slaves of Amok 3, which will have multiplayer dwarf fortressing?
So first, it's because I've got hours on the forum and so on. There's kind of this huge burden there, and I don't want another one. Month and stick those at the end of the month, and that's the time that we're using to, you know, we had a lot of ideas, right? We have a lot of ideas, you know, things just as complicated as Dwarf Fortress in different genres all over the place, and because it's easier to come up with an idea than to write a game, right? So it's you know, you just end up with way too many. And so that's the month-end time is the time when we allow ourselves to kind of do what we did when we were kids. Just write a game without any kind of obligation. And if I said, I mean, we have settled on one, but if I talk about coming out, and I month-end project that I'm working on completely sputters and just dies, I'm not going to feel bad about that, and no one else should either. I mean, this is kind of my free time. I'm hoping to put a game out. It is a game. It has nothing to do with anything we've been working on, and nothing that has been released, I think, at all on our forums or on our site, rather. None of those games really have much to do with this one, so it's new stuff.
So it's going to come eventually, you know.
Eventually, yeah. I mean, I also don't want to set a deadline for myself, because that would be bad. But I mean, it's not going to be this year, no way, probably not next year. But 2011 is possible. I mean, I can definitely see something happening then. So I mean, it's not. I mean, there's a lot of games people look forward to that take many years to finish, and hopefully this won't be as disappointing as some of those. But And you shouldn't be disappointed, because you have no idea what it is, right? So there should be no expectations, and it's just something that'll happen eventually, maybe. Well, I'm sorry about that, but it's not something I, for those reasons, it's not something I want to go into that deeply.
What sort of eating habits do you have? Since you live alone, who knows
right.
where? And you know,
that's right. This is getting deep now.
Do you have some secret balanced meal that you eat every day that it takes 3
no,
seconds?
No, no. Let me see. Because it always changes, right? It always changes. Because I've been eating. That was say 2007. I don't remember anymore. There was this game. I was gonna write. You know, I have those sub games, right? This really scary crap on the. I mean, you shouldn't read too much into those. Those are things that I put up because I was just in a weird mood or whatever, and just made some total garbage. And so I was gonna write another one in Texas. So I was gonna write this game called. Called Magic Pigs, and it was like just I mean I wasn't, you know, like a crazed animal rights activist or anything, but it was going to be about magic pigs going and attacking farmers from the forest, and just for fun, right? It's just a silly ass game, and the tagline was revenge is a dish best served by cold pork. And you would go in and do some kind of whatever. It wasn't really planned because you don't plan a sub game; you just write it. Right. But for the graphics for the game, and there were graphics. I went through and looked at all these factory farm pictures and stuff, and it was just kind of disgusting. So I didn't eat meat for the project because I was trying to get into the frame of mind for the project, which was going to be written in a week or something, right? And then, yeah, so I just stopped as a matter of course, and I didn't eat meat again, and I still haven't. It's not some kind of moral decision so much as just what happened because I was working on that game, because I was into it or whatever. And so recently, I've just been flipping between different things I've been eating. The most recent thing is just rice and bean burrito in the morning that I make from I have tortillas that I get and cans of beans and rice and cook them up and stuff, and I eat fruits and vegetables, though not as much as I should, and crap, lots of candy and crap and coffee and not so much coffee, although I had to do that to switch around my hours. Now I'm not on caffeine so much. I use that as a tool to move my hours around when they get too weird, but I don't have to have a cup a day or whatever, and I'm trying to think of what else. I'm drinking grape juice right now when we're talking, but nothing weird or Einstein-y, like wearing the same suit every day so that you don't have to think about it. I spend a lot of time eating. I'm not a giant fat ass, but I'm not skinny either. That's all I got to say.
So I imagine you exercise at least a bit if you're not just gaining weight continuously. It's just you just go on strolls or something.
Yeah, I used to walk more, but like I was saying, this town is not a walking town. the last time I was walking, someone said that they would kill me. They stopped their car before they got to the light, and they're like, you know, we're gonna get people from the high school or whatever. I wasn't scared really because they just seemed like dumbasses or something. But it's just not a walk in town, so I stopped walking. I used to walk more. I used to walk a couple miles every day, but yeah. So I exercise a little bit, not as much as I should, not very much at all. Mostly sit in this chair that I'm still sitting in right now, but I'm probably getting more and more unhealthy. That's true.
So would you like to share? What are your two favorite films of all time? Or one?
I suck so bad at these questions.
No. Just name a couple or something. I don't know.
Well, were just very inspiring for me. I mean, I know there's a kind of a garbage aspect to them, but those are very inspiring. The name Bay 12 comes from the movie Aliens. You have to watch it. I don't know. Nothing particularly artsy. My friend in the UK got me into a bit of anime and stuff, and so I liked some of those, like the Ghibli cartoons and stuff. What else? If I had to say, Zardos was a funny movie. What else? Those are the ones that come to mind immediately. I mean, there's so many movies, though. You know, I've seen thousands of movies, but yeah, I'm no good at favorites questions.
So you're not just sitting there on the independent film channel watching some Swedish independent film all day long or something?
No. Some of those, I was dating this girl once that showed me all the, I don't remember the name, like Ingmar Bergman, is that right? Showed me all these, I don't remember. What's his name? Max von Sydow starred in a lot of those movies. So those were cool. I mean, it's not like I have anything against independent films from other countries, but you're right.
Yeah. Well, I think that about wraps it up. Thanks a lot for this interesting conversation. Too bad there were a couple cutouts, but doesn't really matter that much. Oh, well. Well, it's been very interesting. Thanks a lot for your time. And
Sure.
Go work some more, and let's hope we get that 1.0 by 2025.
2025, that's right. That's my goal. That's release date.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.